this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but we ask you to hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line a very special friend, Joyce Riley. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing?
Well, hello, Dr. Stan. I'm doing really fine, thank you.
Well, of course, Joyce is with the Gulf War Veterans Association, and well, she and her husband, Dave, are the Gulf War Veterans Administration, and association. They're really trying to get proper treatment for the Gulf War veterans who came out with this bizarre disease, which the government denies exists. But, of course, they know it does. They just don't want to admit it, because then they would have to, of course, acknowledge disability for how many of the Gulf War veterans are there now who went overseas to fight for freedom and came home and become ill and died?
Well, we believe that the figure that went over there is 697,000. Now, that's those that were there during the critical part of the war. There's been a lot of people since that time, and it's up to 3 million now. But out of that original 697,000, we strongly believe between 30 and 40,000 deaths have occurred as a result of the Gulf War, and that there are around 400,000 sick Gulf War veterans.
Well, of course, the government is denying that. At least they're doing everything they can to keep anybody from getting the figures or from seeing the shot records or really from analyzing what really happened. How could they have lost the shot records on all those people?
Well, I think what happened is, according to one of our memos we saw, is that the MSC officers, or the Medical Service Corps officers, were told to collect all the medical records and report with a negative as far as how many records existed during the Gulf War. And in my estimation, what that MSC officer said is that that meant that they were supposed to be shredded. So the military, in my estimation, is guilty of spoilage of records. It's a federal offense in destroying medical records, and I think that's exactly what happened.
Well, why do you think that is? Do you think it was because they used some experimental vaccines on our men, or do we have any idea really what had happened and what the source of this is?
I think a lot of it was the experimental use of vaccines, but what they did not want was to show that troops were sick and went to sick call during the Gulf War, because then they're going to see that there was meiosis, there was a sarin gas exposure. There were problems that they had during the Gulf, because both Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell have made the statement that, to our knowledge, nobody got sick during the Gulf War to an extent. Well, this would totally disprove them, because it's my understanding that about 70% of the people went to sick call at one time or another from something that may very well have been related to biological or chemical exposure.
All right, and of course, there are suggestions that some of the officers were given pheresis, some sort of a filtering of their blood after exposure to chemical weapons. Had you heard that?
Well, I heard that, but that was more in response, I thought, to the to some of the biological warfare agents that were causing neurological symptoms. I don't know. I didn't hear of it being done in the Gulf.
No, no, they came back to America. Don't know that it happened. I was just told this by one young man who said that they were giving plasmapheresis to certain of the key administrative people, but of course not to the average soldier. But you know, the great tragedy is the figure, whether it's 200 or 400,000. There is no excuse for that many of our soldiers to have gotten ill, and the government to have a massive cover-up. How have they been able to get away with it?
I think it's a facade that they generated during Agent Orange. Is they created a scenario of, gee, we just can't figure it out. Oh, my goodness, I don't know what happened. Gee, let's do some research. And so they perfected that over about 10 years' period of time, and they threw a lot of money at people they knew would bring back the right answer, which is, oh my goodness, we can't figure it out either. And so they continued to the point of now over $300 million has been spent, and everybody's walking around going, wow, we just can't figure it out. You know, as I confronted the Department of Defense, either you are the most incompetent people in medical research, or it is an intentional cover-up. And I think at this time, it is probably both.
Well, now, they have actually acknowledged that there is a relationship between ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, and the Gulf War illness, haven't they?
Yes, they have. They have acknowledged the fact that, well, there's about 8 to 10 people that were sick with ALS. Well, that statement doesn't look all that bad to people. 8 people with ALS, my goodness, that's nothing. Until you consider that that's a very small group of people they're looking at, because there are people still in the military, very few people, that are still reporting back. I could quote you cases of ALS, and these people never heard that the Department of Defense was even interested in finding out what was wrong with them. And so you're not talking about the broad perspective of Guard, Reserve, those who have left the military, along with those that are still active duty. You're talking primarily of those that are high visibility people like Colonel Donnelly and Colonel Hebert, who made it very well known about their case. And so I think the rest of the poor Gulf War veterans have been just left to the four winds.
All right, fine. Well, there are a lot of things happening now. And, of course, one of the things is, of course, as we prepare to go send our boys over the Middle East, once again, they're talking about immunizing the entire military force going there for anthrax. And then what's this about now, giving them all this smallpox vaccine? And is this, the new experimental smallpox vaccine, or is it the old vaccine that's been around for 30 or 40 years that has been frozen? Do we know?
Well, what we know now is that the Defense Department is expected to receive 1 million doses of smallpox vaccine, including some to be used for what they consider to be strategic reserve doses.
Now, is this, though, the old or is this the new experimental vaccine? And we don't know what its long-term results are.
Well, no, we don't. And here's the problem, is if the Pentagon decides to move forward with this smallpox vaccine, which they believe to be December, the smallpox vaccine has, you ask about the question of what is it going to be used. What we know is going to be used is probably that was made by Wyeth Labs. They have approved repackaging of the previous smallpox vaccine, which was owned by the government but stored by pharmaceutical company Wyeth. Now, that's the only statement that they're giving out. It appears to be about a 25-year-old dose of vaccine, though, so it's going to be, for all intents and purposes, this first batch of 500,000 will be the old vaccine, 25-year-old, which we know to be closer to 50-year-old. It's really between 25- and 50-year-old vaccine that the FDA says is owned by the government, which is fascinating because Aventis is the one that was supposed to have owned it, but now is stored by pharmaceutical company Wyeth.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Joyce Riley. And at this point, I just certainly want to make the announcement. This is probably be the last afternoon we'll mention it, but this coming Saturday, at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, we're going to put on an all-day seminar, and we're going to talk about preparation for what lies ahead. We're going to talk about what happened at Johannesburg, and where the elite of the world met. Gorbachev was there, and Stephen Rockefeller, and the people who really run the governments of the world were there planning and laying out their plan, and Joan Parris attended. She'll be telling you what she learned. Of course, Jeannie Soderman will be talking about the application of this control at the local community. Of course, we will have Brad Dacus talking about Christian persecution. Bill Sardi will talk about health issues, because, of course, as we're talking about all these possibilities of various biological attacks, the best thing that you can do, of course, is have maximum immunity on your part. So hopefully, if something does happen and you can't get antibiotics, that you certainly won't get infected. And then I'm going to talk about the coming financial crisis in America. I'm going to talk about preparation for that, and then the spiritual preparation for what lies ahead. And so we hope you'd like to go. We have to know today, because we have to put in the orders for lunches, and we're going to have lunches in the syllabus. So if you're interested in coming, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and we hope you can come. We have over 100 people signed up now, and we're really excited about it. We're hoping to have an excellent turnout. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable to regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, Dr. Sten, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we're talking with Joyce Farley on what's going on now. Now, one of the concerns, a vaccine that's 25 or 30 or 50 years old, this is a vaccine, it's a live vaccine, and, you know, of course it did have a certain number of reactions. About one person, 1 to 2 people in a million would die, and a certain number would get encephalitis from this. The major problem was, of course, we have so many people with an altered immune system, and if they were to contract this live virus, why, they could be serious consequences. So it really can't be given to people with AIDS or who have their immune system suppressed because of the cancer drugs they're taking, things of that sort. So this is a whole different world than when this vaccine was used before. My concern is that they have a new vaccine that's coming down the line. It's being made over in England, but we don't know what the long-term results are. We do know what happened, long-term results with their polio vaccine, where 93 million Americans got a cancer-producing virus, a monkey virus, SV40. And the government's covered that up for almost, well, going back to 1961, so you're talking about 41 years they've covered that up. Fright to death, the American people will find the truth, and that is that they gave all these people a polio vaccine when they knew that it actually had the polio, the cancer virus in it, they continued giving it. Now, certainly they didn't know initially. They did everything they could to punish the woman who found the cancer virus there, to destroy her career. And yet, of course, we owe her a debt of gratitude because they would have contaminated the whole world. And if you haven't read my June and July newsletters this year, you really need to get them and read them. But Joyce, what do we really know about the vaccine? We know that this is 40 or 50 years old, and are they going to give it to the smallpox vaccine to all the troops going in?
They're going to give it probably to about 1 million, or between 500,000 and 1 million troops. So they're going to be given 1 million doses to divide up how they think it should be used. They are actually considering a medical waiver for this vaccine because of the fact that so many people do have a reaction to it, and because a medical exemption is going to be granted because this has more problems attached to it than any other vaccine.
You're talking about the smallpox vaccine.
Correct.
All right.
They're actually admitting to that. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of people become ill as a result of these vaccines. These people, the first 1 million, are going to be the test agents, if you ask me, and then they're going to see how well this works and if there's a lot of problems attached to it. But I think it is just a tragedy. Can you imagine using 50-year-old medical science today? What can you imagine using a 50-year-old anything in a hospital? A 50-year-old sterilizing machine. I mean, no, of course not. You wouldn't go eat a hot dog out of your freezer that was 50 years old that Barbara put in there for you 50 years ago, would you?
Well, of course, she didn't put anything in there 50 years ago. But anyway, I mean, you're concerned, right?
You know, but I mean, people, you wouldn't drink water that had been put in a freezer 50 years ago, but you would put it in your body?
Well, I mean, the thing is that they should, do limited evaluation. Have they done limited evaluation to see what happened with this, or are they simply going to give it to all the troops and then find out what happens down the line?
They did limited testing at St. Louis University. And the reason they did it there was to test the potency of subdividing the units, in other words, diluting them down 10 times. So they wanted to dilute this existing vaccine down by 10 times to see if it would be potent enough to create a reaction, or basically the scabbing that they wanted to see on the skin. And in their test, they said, yes, it did do that, which makes me wonder if, in fact, the vaccine that was used 25 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, was perhaps way too strong at that time. But it is old science. The new science that they want to use by a Cambus Corporation or a Ventus Corporation, whichever one it is that they want to use human fetal tissue or diploid cells. So they want to use that old cell line from the lungs of an aborted baby and use it on the vaccine that's going to be the new vaccine, which you always get viruses attached to whatever vaccine it is that you're going to give. How serious it's going to be, I don't think we're going to know. But when the CDC was at St. Louis and they came in and held their quote-unquote town hall meeting, I went there with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We testified, and I asked the question, is it true? I said, would you confirm or deny that Dr. I can't remember his name right now, that Dr. So-and-so, who was involved in the testing of the vaccine at St. Louis University, has now openly in the newspaper declined the fact that he is going to allow his children to have that vaccine? And the response from the CDC panel was, we cannot comment on Dr. whatever his name was. So,
but of course, I thought that that panel really gave a very, very intelligent approach, and they said very limited use of the vaccine.
They did.
And then, of course, after holding the panel and all the hearings, then they reversed everything that was done by the panel of experts. So most of these panels are simply all window dressing, smoke and mirrors, because the decisions are made in smoke-filled rooms and have nothing to do with medicine.
That's right. And it gets all the activists out so they can figure out who the activists are, who is going to be our real offensive, who is going to be the person on the offensive toward us on this. They can soften their issues as they, you know, hone their issues and responses. And I think it's just a rub the belly session. I think that's exactly what it does. It gets the steam off of people like Joyce Riley and Dr. Tenpenny thinking, wow, we made a difference. When in reality, no difference was made. And we go back and, you know, it takes all the steam off of us and we don't fight it quite as hard for a couple of weeks. And that's exactly what they want.
All right, fine. Now, what about the anthrax vaccine? The incidence of reactions to that is awfully high. What did the FDA put in the package insert? What is the incidence of reactions to the anthrax vaccine that they're going to be giving to all of our troops?
Well, here's the way they're presenting it. A troop, airman, corpsman, whatever, the bad news is there's a 35% reaction rate to this vaccine. The worst news is you can't do anything about it anyway. And that's really basically the way they're presenting it to them. 35% reaction rate.
Well, now, is that just a sore arm, or how many of these people are actually incapacitated or will have permanent symptoms as some of the people have in the past, or perhaps even die from it?
It really runs the gamut, and they have not been more descriptive. At least I haven't seen it delineated any closer than that. However, I am hearing from people that if you include all the minor skin reactions or all the sore arms and the swollen lymph glands, that perhaps it might go up to as high as 80%. What I can tell you is there is now a lawsuit by Russ Dingell and Mr. Remfer. They were both pilots. They are furious at the idea of this anthrax vaccine having been given to them. They are now confronting, they were pilots that were going to be given it, and they have now filed a lawsuit against Bioport alleging a number of things. And they're interesting people to interview. I'm going to get these pilots on the air and talk with them about it. You may want to contact them because these guys have filed a lawsuit all by themselves against Bioport. They're taking on the powers that be, and I believe it's December 9th. They've asked summary judgment, which means Bioport wants to get the case shut down. But these two guys are bringing the case for all the military.
All right, fine. And, of course, the problem is with this anthrax vaccine is that a significant number of people have gotten reactions to this. If you read the scientific studies, what really bothers me is at least this one study I read that is included in the book that was written by, I think, Judith Miller from the New York Times. She mentioned that they'd given this vaccine to, I think, 10 monkeys and then exposed them to the anthrax and pulmonary anthrax, and 8 of the monkeys died. Now, that doesn't give you a lot of confidence in the vaccine.
You know, there's a book that's been written called Anthrax, A Deadly Shot in the Dark.
Well, we actually carry that.
You do?
Yes, we carry that. We have a four-tape set on anthrax as well.
Oh, people need to get that.
Right, and so I think it's so important. But that is an excellent, excellent book.
That's right. Colonel Hiemstra did a wonderful job. And, you know, when you talk with these poor men that have been wounded, injured, there are two guys that I know that I deal with. They're 24 years of age. They have had seizures. They have had inability to function to make a living. I mean, these guys, their lives are destroyed. One had as many as 8 to 12 seizures a day.
Now, this was after the anthrax vaccine?
Correct. And it's usually after the third vaccine that they start to get the problems. I had a young man that wrote to me the other day, and he was telling me how he's got all these tremors and tics now that he didn't have before the vaccines. And that's what they're starting to report. And, of course, the military then says, well, unfit for military service, here's your 10% or 20%. If they're really, really feeling good that day, they'll give them 30% disability, and they send them out of the hospital, or send them out of the military. And one of the websites is josephjones.net, if you want to see the story of a man whose life was totally crippled as a result of the anthrax vaccine when he was like 22 years of age.
That's josephjones.net?
Correct.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Fred, who's Troy, who's calling from Silverthorne, Colorado, and we'll just get the question, and then they'll have to hang on through the break. Fred, are you there? Troy, I guess. Troy from...
Hi, how are you doing, Dr. Stern?
I'm doing fine. Question or comment?
Yeah, I just had a couple quick questions and then a comment later on. I was kind of curious, how many are still in active duty of that 697,000, or is there... I've heard some pretty high numbers, but I was not sure.
You're talking about of the original Gulf War veterans who were sent over there. What percentage of them are still on duty?
5%.
About 5% of them. Most of them have dropped out, and many of them are too ill to serve.
Wow.
Okay, you hang on, and we'll be right back here in just a moment, okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to take this time to mention some of the products that we carry. One of them, of course, is Miracle 2 soap products, and I can tell you there's a soap, a moisturizing soap, there's a lotion, there's a neutralizer, there's a gel, and a lot of our people who use these claim that they really feel very much better from certain things. Now, we can't make any medical claims at all for them. All we can tell you is what people have told us as far as the fact it's helped them, and we can suggest that you may want to try them. I will guarantee you one thing, and that it's excellent soap. I've used it for a year, and I myself have had a little rash on my forehead, which every time I use soap, of course, it comes back again. And when I use the Miracle 2 products, that is ever, ever so much better. So if you're interested in the Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5. HIV warm. And then, of course, we want to mention the fact that we carry the Phenopoly set, and if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, you need to get this because it will teach them in 16 to 20 hours how to read phonetically, spell phonetically, pronounce words phonetically. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books with it. Most of these programs are in the neighborhood of, $300 or $400. This is $139.95. We think it's a great deal. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for a Phenopoly set. That's 1-800-544-8927. We also carry the Robinson homeschool curriculum that'll take your child or grandchild from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. 22 CDs. Everything's there but the math textbooks. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get your government out, get your children out of the government schools. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our 4-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley. Why don't you get your website out there, Joyce, for people that'd like to get in touch with you?
Sure. It is GulfWarVets.com, GulfWarVets.com. And Dr. Stan, you were just talking about Miracle 2. Could I read you a letter that I just got from a vet?
Sure, you could.
Listen to this. Now, I know that you say it's a nice soap. I know it's more than that, but that's okay. This is a lady here who has been getting it from us for a long time. That's our mission here. We give it free of charge to vets. In fact, last night I did $584.60 worth of mailing to vets, and that was just for four vets. So we send a lot to each vet. She says, my name is Carol. I am a Gulf War veteran. I was located at Jabail. I am disabled, and enclosed is a letter from my doctor with the things I have been diagnosed with, as well as other things that I have not been to a doctor for, such as the rashes and sores. I've been using Miracle 2, and it has helped me a lot. Please send me some more of the products, and thank you for funding this for us. If you need more information, contact me. It has helped her, she said, with her rashes. It's helped her with her fibromyalgia. Now, listen to this. Now, this is for education on the Gulf War illness, not necessarily on the Miracle 2. But here's what her doctor says. She ambulates by assistance of a cane, a wheelchair, and walker. She uses a shower chair to assist with bathing. She has problems with uncontrollable falls and cannot get up. Weakness of the arms, legs, neck, back pain, dizziness, shortness of breath, chronic fatigue, joint pain, gastrointestinal bleeding, urinary incontinence, headaches, and chest pain. Now, that is your typical Gulf War veteran, sir. 35 years old.
It's 35 years old. And she's an idealistic person who went overseas to fight for her country and never realized that she would be betrayed by our government, which says it's nothing there. You're completely normal. It's all in your head.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
That's the standard approach. And I've heard them. They sent their doctors out to the various medical meetings across the country. And I've been to some of them. And the doctors come to the Veterans Hospital and say, oh, it's just post-traumatic stress syndrome. And they know they're lying, and they do it just the same. Because after all, if they told the truth, they wouldn't work for the Veterans Administration. Well, let's go to Troy. Troy, did you have another question?
Yes, I did. It sounds like if we serve in our military, it sounds like we're serving into a death camp.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an article that came out Friday in the Rocky Mountain News by a Thomas Monahath. I guess he's supposed to be a lead scientist for the vaccine manufacturer.
Right.
And it's his statement that came out. You guys may have seen this, but the statement he made tells me for what vaccine they're going to use and how well they care for us. And he goes, this is a short one. He goes, there is no way to tell for sure about the safety of the vaccine until you've tested a lot of human subjects.
Right.
How nice.
And that's what they've done. They've been testing us all along. And in fact, they gave the vaccine with thimerosal in and a mercury compound, toxic to the brain. And they insisted on giving it in the nursery. And when that was pointed out that it was toxic, they said, oh, well, we'll take it out then.
Sure, yes.
What sort of madness is this? We've given it to millions of our children, something that is so toxic to the brain. We're telling people not even to eat fish. And yet we're giving it in the vaccine shots, and they're getting, I don't know how many, 20 or 30 vaccine shots by the time they're, 3 or 4 years of age. And in the thimerosal, the mercury is in many of those. Now they tell us they're taking it out, but we don't really know, and they don't really know, and they don't want us to know what they know. Anything else, Troy?
Yeah, just real quick. Are people leaving the military, so that way they don't have to take the anthrax vaccines? I've heard that there's like a mass exodus, but I didn't know for sure.
I think really it's more the pilots, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot. I just talked to an MP, an officer who's an MP, and he is walking as soon as he can get out. But first they're going to strip him of his rank, and they're going to force him to retire with nothing, and then they're going to maybe send him to jail first or Fort Leavenworth. And that's the sad part, is he has 17 or 18 years in, and that's a horrible thing to be doing to these people. But this guy's not going to take it. And he says, there's no way, absolutely no way. A lot of the people are leaving. There is a mass exodus. But what's happening is more people are not going in the first place. And we have such a young military right now. They're promoting below the zone. It is, like we said, there's only 5% of the military left. It was in Desert Storm. I mean, imagine this. Imagine we're fighting a war with less than 5% of the people that have ever seen a war before.
But you see, the advantage of having a depression and really hard, having difficulty getting jobs is a lot of people are going to the military because they can't get a job anyplace else. And that's what they did during the Second World War. You know, we had a 10 million unemployed. The military was a good place to give them a job. And that was one of the reasons why they wanted this Second World War, of course, to get us, pull us out of the Depression. Anything else you wanted to ask, Troy?
No, I just thank Jesus for both of you, and thanks for all your hard work.
Hey, thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
You guys make a difference. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I just wanted to make a comment, and maybe Joyce Riley doesn't know it yet, but just a couple hours ago, the Senate just passed that Homeland Security bill.
Oh, no.
And in that Homeland Security bill was a rider that was put in the last few days by the president, our good President Bush, that doesn't allow anybody to sue any of these companies that make these vaccines now. And I think it was retroactive.
Well, I'll tell you what, first of all, if the companies don't have enough faith in their vaccines, that they have to have that rider in there, which excludes them from lawsuits. Could you imagine going to a doctor if you knew you couldn't sue him if he took off the wrong leg or something?
Well, that's what just happened.
Okay,
let me also say that is especially for Eli Lilly. Eli Lilly was mentioned in this Patriot Act.
Yes.
Are in this Homeland Security. The other interesting thing is that George Sr. was a director of Eli Lilly. Remember that? And he was the one that pushed through the Prozac in such a short period of time and got it approved. So I don't see a conflict of interest here. Does anybody else?
Okay, fine. Anything else at all, Fred?
I just want to let everybody know in the whole world that's what just happened to us.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Homeland Security Act really does away with checks and balances. It combines 22 agencies, 170,000 people. Does anybody think that this is going to be a more efficient means of stopping terrorism? And of course, you have to read this article about Admiral Poindexter and this new computer that is going to track every citizen in America, because after all, some of them might be terrorists.
It seemed like Poindexter, he spent his time in prison, too.
Well, he should have spent his time in prison. Actually, they let him off, I mean, here is a man who lied and lied and lied. And then after covering for the president actually gave him a pardon. And even though he was convicted of 5 felonies, this man is leading the new program within the military to begin monitoring the population.
Everybody.
And where does the Army get off monitoring the population? That sounds just like what happened in the fatherland under Adolf Hitler. Thanks so much,
Fred. Have a good day.
Right. But let's go to Dale calling from SoCal. Hi, is this Dale?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Dale, question or comment?
A comment, just a gentle reminder to everybody not to be too surprised about this company, Bioport, because the Bush and Bin Laden family are co-owners of Bioport.
Well, I don't know. I know that certainly there were some questions beforehand. You know probably more about that. Joyce, is the Bin Laden family in any way involved in that today?
Well, I called Bioport, and we had a discussion with them, and they have firmly denied. I asked them to confirm or deny the Bush-Bin Laden connection, and they said no. And they said absolutely no. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think they don't. I think it means, no, they don't want us to know that anything. So I don't have an answer.
Okay, fine. Dale, I think that we really need to have, if you can get any written documentation of that, I'll appreciate it. Okay,
okay,
I'll buy it from him.
Thanks so much.
Sure, I just saw it on their website about 8 months ago. It might have been taken off, but I just recall seeing it on their website.
I always want to print anything like that, because those things have a way of disappearing.
Correct. Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Richard calling from Florida. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Okay, question or comment?
I have a question for Joyce. Joyce, maybe you can help me. I heard one time that it was Donald Rumsfeld that was instrumental in pushing aspartame.
Yes.
Could you, you know where I can get information on that?
Yeah, try doorway.com. That's doorway.com. They had the information on that. The other way I found it is if you go into Google and put in aspartame in quotes and then put Rumsfeld in quotes.
Okay.
And I think you'll come across it. Also, let me tell you real quickly that Donald Rumsfeld in 1983, December 19th, was the person that was sent to Iraq to meet with Saddam Hussein to improve our diplomatic relations. Now, when he went on December 19th of 1983, the United States had already had knowledge that Iraq had been bombing the Iranians or had been hurting the Iranians, killing the Iranians. The United States knew that. But we said, hey, let's go over there, make friends, let's walk off into the sunset and live happily ever after.
Now, wait a minute. Are you suggesting that actually they were using the poison gas, weren't they? Because they were been at war with the Iranians for a couple of years.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is they'd already killed the Iranians. Like they're saying, you know, the reason we've got to go to war is because he's already attacked his neighbor and he's already killed people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, now here's the interesting thing, though. When Donald Rumsfeld went to Iraq on December 19 of 1983, he's listed as a private envoy of the Reagan administration. Really? Well, I did some checking in his background, and he happened to be president and CEO of G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company when he was visiting December 19 and 20 of 1983. Now, explain to me why a president of a pharmaceutical company makes a little side trip over to Iraq to improve our diplomatic relations. Then he returned in 1987 back to Iraq, and remember, that is when they were killing the people in Halabja. They killed not 100,000 Kurds, or 10,000 as they said. It was closer to 200,000, according to several of the troops that I've talked to that were there at the time. The United States actually sold the helicopters and calibrated the equipment with which Iraq did their dirty deeds. So when we say we've got to go get this bad man because he killed his own people and he killed his neighbors, well, we were holding his hand while he did it. Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, I think that people have a hard time accepting that, although I know that it's true, and we have a great deal of information on how we provided the chemical and biological weapons to Saddam Hussein. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we have the only supply. We bought up the publisher's only supply of Against All Enemies by Seymour Hersh, and it was written in the mid-1990s. And it simply goes into the fact we sold Saddam the chemical and biological weapons, and of course these are the same chemical and biological weapons we're so upset that he has today. What's wrong with this scenario? Richard, anything else you want to ask?
Well, I just want to say not only should he not be our defense secretary, he should be in jail, to say the least.
You're exactly right. And by the way, we have more information coming out real soon that I can't disclose right now on Donald Rumsfeld. And you're absolutely right about that. You are absolutely right. This man has conflict of interest all over the place.
Okay, thanks so much for calling, Richard. Bye-bye. And, well, of course, we've got so many things that are going on today. And unfortunately, we have people at the highest echelons of our government who are not moral individuals. Should we be surprised then they make moral, immoral decisions? We find that most of the hierarchy of the current administration comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is an extension of the secret society Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. And if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get that. It'll give you all the references where you can track this down. And, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations, the members control both the Republican and the Democratic Party. And the fact that most people don't know that is simply because the media is largely controlled by members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, right now I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us, why, we hope many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day. And on the Internet, on radio, 3 hours on satellite, 2 hours on the Internet, on the shortwave, we're reaching out across America, and more people are learning what's going on. And not only that, but they're telling other people who are telling other people who are telling other people, and this is how we're going to gradually get the truth out across America. So I would ask that if you believe that there's a problem and you'd like to partner with us in our effort to educate the American people, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us. Tell others about our radio programs. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can hear either on Radio Liberty or on Genesis Network or the American Freedom Network our programs 5 hours every day. And then we'll be look forward to seeing many of you at the conference on Saturday.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and we have with us today Joyce Riley, and of course, let's go to Daryl, who's calling in from Pennsylvania. Hi, Daryl, how are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan and Joyce. This is Daryl Eberhardt from Crescent, Pennsylvania. I met you and Dave in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Daryl, I got your mail today.
Okay, great. And Go ahead, Joyce.
No, I was just saying thank you.
You're very welcome. And Dr. Stan, I've got a couple of the products you just mentioned on the program, and one's The Medusa File by Craig Roberts, and I'm a 20-year military veteran and retired, and I'd like to say that he covers the MIA POW issue quite well in that book, along with a lot of other cover-ups, including the Gulf War problem, some of the shoot-downs like Pan Am 103 and TWA 800. So that's a super great book, and you have a couple four-tape sets that I think are wonderful, Vietnam, The Untold Story, and The Men We Left Behind. And so I highly recommend that everybody that knows a veteran, that would make a great Christmas gift to get to somebody. Mm-hmm. And Joyce also has a couple great videos. I don't have them here. I've got them out on loan, but you gave two talks. One was up in Adrian, Michigan, I believe, in 95. And then you did another tape in 96 called The Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction. And I highly recommend that folks get those two videos, because they deal not only with the Gulf War illness, but they deal with other betrayals of our fighting men. And I compliment you both for keeping these issues before the American people, because our veterans sacrificed so much, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and the Gulf War, and other actions, and the history of betrayal is tremendous. So we need to keep those issues up.
You are to be commended also. Believe me, you have been a wonderful strength and support for us, and I thank you so much for that. But do you mind if I tell people your special talent in the military?
Go ahead.
Language. I'm talking about language.
Go ahead.
Well, Daryl speaks Arabic. And the interesting thing, Dr. Stan, is we talked after they had these so-called Bin Laden tapes that were released. And I think perhaps Daryl can share with you, he'd be interesting to talk to about his feeling about those tapes. But he has quite a talent in Arabic.
Well, Daryl, did you hear when, of course, you know, they flash on the screen what Bin Laden is supposed to be saying. Did he say the things that they're telling us he was saying?
The little blip I saw on television would have been very difficult for even what they would call in the military a guy with a great ear to pick up. What I did hear from other people who were top linguists was that people who had looked at that at top levels in the government, government linguists, had said that the stuff that was being put out did not match what was on the tape or could not be heard.
Well, the thing is that these are all CIA disinformation programs. The CIA uses television, newspapers, magazines, and their agents throughout this country, who are here illegally because they're not supposed to have them, but they use them to control what the American people think. We have a list of the CIA assets in the United States, at least the people who get a CIA or military officer's magazine, and you can get that. It's in a book called Redecide, the list of 4,000 people who are affiliated with the intelligence agencies, and the list was, of course, given to the author of the book, Redecide, by Mr. Crowley, Robert Crowley, who was the Assistant Deputy Chief of Covert Operations for the CIA. Fascinating book. I found my next-door neighbor in there, and and so I think it has a lot of credence. And so So the CIA operates here, and of course it puts these things on, whether it's that dumb cartoon we saw on the downing of TWA-800, or these cartoons with Osama bin Laden. You'd think they would have a better laboratory than that, though. They really want the American people to believe we're seeing the truth.
And what is really sad is that there are quite a few decent, good FBI and CIA people at the lower and middle levels, but they're so compartmentalized, they don't realize some of the great evil that goes on above them.
I'm sure that they do. Well, I'm sure you're absolutely right.
I just say one final thing, and that is that both of you have great websites, thegulfwarvets.com, very nice graphics in that, and of course, Dr. Stan's, RadioLiberty.com. Dr. Stan, you have probably the greatest selection of audio and video tapes and books that I know of anybody out there. So I urge everybody to check out both those websites. And God bless you both for all you're
doing. Thank you, Daryl.
Well, thank you so much, Daryl. And let me just comment on that video of Joyce's on the Gulf War illness. How can people get that?
Well, if you're a Gulf War veteran, it is free, and you just write to us, tell us what unit you were in, what your service dates were, and we'll send it to you free, and you write to us at P.O. Box 85, Versailles, Missouri, 65084, or you can call 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829.
All right. Now, if you're not a Gulf War veteran, of course, you've got to charge. So how can people who are not Gulf War veterans get them?
Just call that number, 877-817-9829, and you can purchase the video.
And it really is a very, very excellent video. I'm very impressed by it. It's very, very touching and very, very well done.
Well, thank you very much.
And ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that these are young people. These are idealistic people. These are patriotic people. And they went over to the Gulf War to fight for America, and very few of them were lost in battle. But they were exposed to toxic material. How much of this was the experimental vaccines? How much of this was stupidity? I don't know. But I do know that an awful lot of them are sick, and they're being denied medical help. And if we have maybe 5% of the 600 and almost 700,000 men still in the military, I think that tells us an awful lot about the degree of illness that there is out there. And, you know, the degree of frustration by being told over and over again, there's nothing wrong with you, it's all in your head. And that's exactly what they're doing with the people who have chronic fatigue syndrome, with people who have contracted illness because of the anthrax vaccine. It's like deja vu all over again, all over again.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are wonderful people like Daryl out there that served in the military their 20 years, did it for the right reasons, and now, you know, they pray for the veterans, they support the veterans, they're there for them, and that really does mean an awful lot. You know, there's a couple of things. Do we have a chance for time to mention a couple of things?
You go right ahead. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. Remember Admiral Crow, William Crow.
Right.
All right. Do you realize, Dr. Stan, and I didn't even put this together until recently, in 1989, he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time. That was the one responsible for selling the biologicals to Iraq. Then, including the anthrax, remember? Now what does he do? He comes along a few years later, and now he's there to be the one to benefit from the treatment of anthrax.
Now, my understanding was that these items were actually sold by private concerns. Where did Admiral Crow go into the sale of those products?
Because the United States had to approve the sale of those biologicals to Iraq, and he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time. The Department of Defense was involved in that decision. So there you have somebody who was in the administration that illegally provided those biological agents. And, yeah, they call it private concerns, the American Type Culture Collection, which is basically, you know, has been there for the government and all their experiments back 30 or 40 years. And then he was there to reap the benefits later on. The second thing I want to mention is that the U.S. government purchased 850,000 defective suits, chemical suits, mop gear, for our troops to wear. The company was called Isratex out of West Raynell, Virginia, or Raynell, West Virginia. Those 850,000 suits were known to be defective. In fact, the Department of Defense officially admitted that they knew they were defective in 1996. However, our troops had already worn them, and they admitted they had holes in them. And Dr. Winogur of the Department of Defense, the Assistant Secretary of Defense's office, admitted in a GAO hearing that, yes, in fact, they did know they were defective, and, yes, one hole could kill somebody. And here's the kicker. There are 250,000 of those suits still in inventory, and they don't know where they are.
All right, I think for our listeners out there, Admiral Crow, of course, was associated with the Bioport company that actually made the anthrax vaccine, and that's the connection. He was given a large amount of stock in this company. I don't think he put up any money of his own, but then, of course, his influence was very important in getting the government to go along with the anthrax vaccination. Would that be a fair statement, you think?
Well, I think it'd be fair to say some more things about him, but we'll go with that.
All right, fine. So here he is, the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a military officer who, while on an active military duty, endorsed Bill Clinton. Now, that's something, you know, that you do not ordinarily do when you are, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and a military officer. But he engaged in the political process and, of course, won favor with the Clinton administration for his endorsement. And then, of course, he is rewarded now by the people who own Bioport and made an official member of the board. And then, of course, the military buys this vaccine that is creating all the problems with our people. And despite the fact that you would think if people were getting sick from this vaccine, they'd try to make a better vaccine that would not make people sick. They're forcing it on our military, demoralizing our military. Large numbers are leaving, and somebody's making an awful lot of money.
You know, it's interesting because of William Crowell being the first one to support Clinton in the military, because they had no one that would support him militarily, and they needed somebody that looked good. Then, after he left the military, William Crowell was rewarded with being the ambassador to the UK, to England. So he got that Benny. Then he comes back and gets this stock and gets to be partial holder in Bioport, which is killing our military now. And we've now had at least 10 deaths that are directly related to that vaccine, more people than have ever been affected by the anthrax.
All right, fine. Well, Joyce, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, sir.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that's Joyce Riley, and I hope you enjoyed the program. And we got real problems in our society, but what do you expect when a country turns its back on God? They've taken God out of our schools and God and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our institutions. We've turned our back on God as a nation. When was the last time you heard anybody, any of our religious leaders, talking about this and saying, we've got simply to point out that it was all unconstitutional. The Supreme Court acted because, of course, it was under Masonic control, and the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court for 30 years, from 1941 to 1971, by majorities of 5-4 and 8-9. And the fact that this is never mentioned by our religious leaders, well, maybe that reflects the Masonic influence within the Christian church today. And I will tell you that the upper echelons of Masonry are people who hate Christianity. Well, we're in real trouble as a nation. Pray for our country. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. And yes, pray for our ministers that they may lead this truly spiritual battle for the soul of America. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.
I just went through throwing away old magazines. So I was in here. This one here's from 1991.
Mm-hmm.
The book called The Rise of Babylon, Sign of the End Times. This book was just one sitting in Iraq. I had to do Bible prophecy. What is here? Is it on the same? I think I have a copy of this, actually. It was interesting that this was written in 1991.
Sure.